Talking Wolves is partnered with Green King Sport for the 23-24 season, where football is more than a game. It is a massive fortnight of sport coming up with the Premier League, rugby and the cricket. So to celebrate, Green King are giving Talking Wolves listeners and watchers 20% off all drinks an hour before, during and after all the sport up until the 29th of October. All you need to do is download the Green King Sport app. If you've not done that before, you'll even get a free welcome pint. So head to the App Store, download the Green King Sport app, get your 20% off and don't miss a minute of the action.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. We have missed you. We were off for the international break last week, but Wolves have won another game of football in the Premier League. I can't quite believe it. Dave, how you keeping, mate? A lot brighter after that performance on the South Coast.
Yeah, mate. Four matches unbeaten now. Gary O'Neill, I was not aware of your game. So we're doing all right, too.
Let him cook, mate. And he's cooking.
Exactly. Now, things are looking up, looking good.
What did you do during the international break, mate? Keep yourself busy?
Yeah, Football Manager dropped last week.
There we go.
So if people weren't aware, I do like the research for the Wolves Football Manager. It's not a full-time gig before anyone asks, but so that's quite cool. I barely got into the game last year, so I played a little bit of that. I nearly finished Better Call Saul. That's the TV series I've been watching, so nearly finished that now.
I've never watched that.
It's like spin-off of Breaking Bad. So
yeah,
I know what it is.
I've never watched Breaking Bad either, though.
Yeah, it's slow. I can understand why people... I watched the first two or three series and never got back into it. So, it's been chillaxing, really. And playing a bit of football still. Yeah, boy.
Yeah,
We had the football tournament as well last Sunday. I forgot about that.
Yeah. How did you... some of the listeners won't know, but how did you get... I know I couldn't make it, but...
Yeah, so we had the 7-a-side content creators tournament and it was absolutely freezing. It was at the Dome in Compton. But they left these doors wide open, the whole thing, and it was freezing cold. We did really well. We had a group of us, the Wolf Pack, the 77 Club podcast, and Jason Guy's Wolves All-Star / Wolf Whistle podcast, whatever you want to call it, because he got quite a few ringers in. But we did all right. We got out of the groups. We've won, win, one draw, one... one win and two draws. We then beat Wolves staff in quite a feisty affair. That sent us through to the final. We lost 2-0 against Jason's team, who were full of like ex-pros, ex-very decent, level players. So we had a good game, but there's been some clips flying about online. We're really happy with how we did in the tournament overall, to be fair. Hopefully another one next year.
I think next year I should be fit. I'm having surgery in a couple of weeks. I finally fixed my knee. Should only be out for 4 months. So I think with a bit of steel at the back, mate, we should be able to...
me and Sam Beacon were the two defenders, like predominantly throughout the thing. We did all right, to be fair. In the tougher games, we had like Jord or one of our other lads, Liam, sort of drop into a back three. But now we did really well.
Back three, seven aside.
Now we did. We were counter-attacking teammates. So now we did well.
I saw that tackle on you, mate, and... I was angry when I saw it because I was just like, I know a couple of people have jumped to the bloke's defence, but I just don't know why you're doing. That's the reason I stopped playing like sevens and five aside, because you just get some blokes who just want to go and snap people. And like when you got work the next day and you can't work for 6 weeks because you had your leg broke.
My mate at football keeps saying you should sue Wolves, and I was like, that ain't gonna happen. But it was
That'll be the excuse for not buying a striker. We've got no money left.
The guy was quite apologetic to me, to be fair, but it was one of them. I had a few challenges where I was like, my foot got stamped on quite a lot on my legs, and I carried on. But that one, it was like I knew how, like the studs were up on the back of my leg, and I went down on the floor. I was like, shit. And I thought like this could be bad, but luckily I got up and it was just sore. But it's still all bruised now, like really badly. It's like over like a week later, but. They were a good team. I think he got fouled, so he was off balance, but I still think,
it's a horror tackle. No excuses. Yeah. At least he apologised, but still. Yeah. Could have bossed your leg and then you can't work for 6 weeks and you
any higher or the opposite side of my leg, I think, it'd be a different conversation.
Any higher in a court, you're on the end of your helmet, mate.
I hope so.
I can confirm he wouldn't have caught him on his helmet. It would actually have caught him at the hip. But yeah, it's a good little run out for the boys. Hopefully next year, like I said, I can get involved. And what we might be doing something in May as well, or whenever the season ends, back at Molineux, which hopefully I can play in, because it's been like 3 years since I've been able to play. So I'm hoping this can all get sorted, and I can try and bolster the ranks. But who was your standout player? I know you and play as well, doesn't he?
You was obviously good, but we had a lad, Liam, used to play for Villa back in the day. So we had a couple of dropouts on the day, to be fair. So we had to draft in a couple of people quite late. And we had Liam, who's different grade. He dragged us through games at times. But if we had one or two stronger players, we could have given them a game. I mean, the team that won deserved to win. They were ridiculously good. But we played really defensive. But I think one or two better players, we could have shocked them, to be fair. So,
well, what a good run out for the boys. The Finn and Jord aren't here this week. Don't know what Finn's excuse is, but Jord was actually whisked away on a secret stag do, apparently. Me and Dave were not very happy about this.
What's going
on? I only found out on Saturday that his mates had took him to Amsterdam. Dave and I obviously weren't, you know.
Did you hear the story about the stag? So
no,
he,
I reckon it's bollocks anyway.
No, what had happened was that he finished work, he put it on LinkedIn, like he finished with his current company, and one of his friends from school messaged on LinkedIn saying, oh, I can't wait for the stag next weekend. Jord didn't know nothing about it. All he knew was that he was going to have his missus. So Jord messaged his lad saying, stag? ? In the end...
Did he find out from that news?
Yeah, he didn't know where he was going until the weekend, but that's where, yeah. But yeah, obviously no invite for us, so...
No invite. I mean, the wedding I get, because it's in Antigua. And to be honest, I don't think we would have gone. But the stag in Amsterdam, we'd have been all over that. We'd have been absolutely all over it.
I know.
So, we've told him that he's no longer welcome back on the podcast. And I'm delighted to welcome back Tom Parker. So talking with him when he's joking. but yeah, hopefully he had a good time. I think he's got quite a sore head. So probably won't see him for the next few weeks. So, yeah, I hope you've had a good time, Jord. But Dave, let's get straight into it. Wolves against Bournemouth, 2-1 victory. And I know obviously down to 10 men, but I thought it was quite a good performance.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable watch in regards that obviously second half, especially Wolves had a lot of the ball, created some half decent chances. I did fear that we were going to feel like it was going to be 2 points dropped despite, you know, being 1-0 down in the game, because it almost felt like it could have been that same old Wolves where we just struggled to break down that low block. But in the end, obviously, we got what I feel that we deserved. And Gary O'Neill, I'm sure, would have been ecstatic because, you know, he's tried to sort of it will be interesting. You know, we're recording this before Monday Night Football on Sky. Be interesting to see what he's got to say. But he tried to keep as respectful as he could, but you could tell inside there was a couple of light little sly digs,
weren't there? Where he just couldn't help himself.
Yeah, well, you could tell he was absolutely buzzing. The one I can't remember what he's saying when he looked directly into the camera after the game.
It was like a scene out of The Office, weren't it?
Yeah,
like,
I'm really happy to obviously extend the unbeaten run and get another 3 points.
Yeah, lineup was as expected. Boubacar in for the suspended Lamina and Doherty in at right wing back for Semedo. I think this game puts to bed the argument of who should start at right wing back or right back, because I thought it was quite poor. And I mean, Semedo's had a great season, but I know that some fans would still prefer Doc, but I think that kind of puts it to bed, that performance. And again, I think Gary O'Neill said he wasn't fit.
Yeah,
which says a lot about Johnny. But yeah, I think that kind of puts it to bed, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, like you said, I think he did say he was unfit, or he picked up a knock, I think, on Friday. And yeah, Johnny wasn't even in the squad, was he?
He was on the bench.
Oh, was he? Yeah, so yeah. Obviously, still trust a half-fit Doc ahead of Johnny, who, again, going into January, it'll be interesting to see his situation. He was okay at times, but there were a couple of times where Bournemouth were breaking forward and he was like Neto and whoever else was sprinting back quicker, and it just looked unfit, you could tell. Mm. So I think obviously I think Samadio will walk straight back in next weekend. An interesting one will be Boubacar, though, because I think he had a few moments in the first half, but second half he was solid. So I would be interested to see if he keeps his place against Newcastle next week and possibly at the expense of João Gomez.
Yeah, I thought that midfield too of Gomez and Lamina was Gomez and Traore was very functional, very one-dimensional. And I think we've said it in a few games this season, we've lacked someone who can just put the foot on the ball a little bit, dictate the tempo and be a bit more be a bit more penetrating with the passing. And Tommy Doyle did that excellently, which we'll come on to. But no Bellegarde in the squad. He picked up a small muscle injury, said Gary O'Neill. But the goal, Dave, it was so sloppy, wasn't it? I think I tweeted saying like you've got half the back five defending in the five and the other half defending in the four. And I think you said it on the match review. But it's a real sloppy goal to concede.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the shape, like you said, is like half of them sort of didn't really know which areas or position they should have been in. But it was frustrating because it came from our, you know, we were had a decent spell of the ball and possession at that time as well. And sort of they go down the other end, just seemed far too easy. And I think at least one of the defenders should have either stopped the cross coming in or should have stopped the ball before it got to Solanke anyway, who can be a bit of a handful at times, to be fair to him. But that was frustrating, especially, you know, to go in at halftime 1-0 down. You look at our form and record against teams after going behind, and it's not brilliant. So that was frustrating. And it wasn't an awful first half, but it was a little bit like the Luton game where it was just almost just Wolves just didn't seem to get going, really. And I feared that after such a decent spell against City, against Villa, that it was going to come crumbling down to a team that haven't even picked up a win so far this season.
I don't think it was that bad, to be honest. I mean, I was in and out of the game. I'll be honest. I didn't watch it in its entirety to the full 90 because I was busy trying to juggle other things. But from what I saw, I didn't think it was that bad. The kind of initial like, overarching comments I would say would be the midfield two very functional. Cunha having to come a lot deeper to pick the ball up and drive, but then made some great runs, but just like his final pass, like when it comes to pass the ball, it's like the ball's like four feet behind him and he's like trying to get it from under his feet. Neto, he's unplayable at the minute. He looks like he's just oozing confidence and it's fantastic to see. But yeah, going in at 1-0 down at half time, I thought it was a little harsh because I thought we were probably the better side. But O'Neill did make a change, didn't he, Dave, at half-time? Took João Gomez off, who struggled. I think this season, Gomez, and he's a young lad coming in from Brazil, doesn't really speak the language. He's either been excellent or been very, very average. And I think that was one of those games that passed him by. And he brought Tommy Doyle on. And to be honest, Dave, I was a little bit surprised at that. I thought there'd be other substitutions that he would have prioritised.
No, I agree. I was surprised at that as well. But I got to give credit to Gary O'Neill. I think he got everything tactically in that second half, including the subs, absolutely bang on. And Doyle, that's one way to, you know, almost introduce yourself. Obviously, we saw him against Ipswich. He's had little cameos, you know, off the bench for a couple of minutes. But that he was the difference, I think. And he was the reason why we got, you know, possibly between us getting nothing out of the game and getting 3 points out of the game. And this is what these players have got to do. And I've mentioned it on podcasts over the last few weeks in regards that, you know, the first 11, you could say, is pretty settled. But if you've got to rely on poor performances, suspensions or injuries to get your chance in the team. And when you get a chance, you've got to take it. Now, I don't immediately think Tommy Doyle is going to be the first name on the team sheet on Saturday. But he'll definitely give Gary O'Neill something to think about. I personally don't think he'll start. But now he's going to be well ahead of the pecking order of other players. And if Wolves need a job doing, like somebody that can pick out the pass or add something different to the midfield, he's going to be the first name that Gary O'Neill thinks of. Same with Sasha, who we'll talk about. Every time Sasha gets a chance, even against Villa in the last game, he came on, created things. Obviously, Saturday came on and scored the goal. If O'Neill wants to bring on a striker, he's not going to be thinking about Fabio Silva. He's going to be thinking about Sasha Kalajic because he's proved he can do it. Mm-hmm. So that was important for Doyle. He took his chance and he's got a lot of fans on his side now.
Yeah, just looking at his performance and crunching the numbers a little bit. So looking at progressions via pass for both teams combined over the 90 minutes, There's only eight Nori and Kilman who are above Doyle in progressions via pass.
Yeah.
Which, considering he only played 45 minutes, and you would expect your defenders to be progressing the ball more because they're further back down the pitch. I think that's an unbelievable return. You've got progressions via carry, and Neto is like off the charts compared to everybody else. But I thought Dave, he was extremely positive, and looked, and I said this to my dad. I said, look, he's done really well. He went, he isn't a Neves. And I said, he's not going to be though, but he's a young lad. He's cost us 4 or 5 million. And if he's impacting games in the Premier League like that, albeit against a poor Bournemouth side and 10 men, then it looks like a really good piece of business by the club.
Right, for that fee as well, if you can get 4 or 5 more performances like that out of him and to win games, mate, you know, that's a fantastic piece of business. And I know, obviously, it's going to be part of the Nunes deal, but I think for a young English midfielder in this day and age, to be able to pick them up, as long as he can carry on with that level of performances for sort of 4.5 million quid or whatever it is, that's, you know, fantastic. I'm hoping that we see a couple of set-piece goals from him as well. You know, that's one of his, apparently one of his specialities. So
yeah, he's good.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, a really, really solid cameo from him. And, you know, like you said, a huge reason why we got the 3 points on Saturday.
I spoke to, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but when we signed him, I spoke to a coach at Man City who was, he's one of the sports lecturers at the uni I went to, and he'd coached him, and I asked him what he was like, and he said, like, I've never wanted a player to succeed so much at City because of history. His granddad played for City. And yeah, he said, he will frustrate fans at some in some instances because he looks forward, he tries risky passes, he takes risks, and he doesn't shy away from it. And I said, that's exactly what we need. And I think that was a really good example at the weekend of him showing those attributes. And I think he was key in the build-up to the first goal. But Neto, with another assist, Dave, and Cunha finally finding the back of the net. And to be honest, it's a great run from Neto, but it's still quite a tough finish from Cunha. And he finished it with aplomb.
I think Doyle does well as well, obviously, to find Neto initially, you know, looking pass through the lines.
Yeah, correct.
Neto, again, like you said, with the assist. And Cunha had a really quiet first half. Well, not necessarily quiet, but frustrating, because like you said earlier, he was coming deep. And I always find when your number nine is having to come into your own sort of defensive third to pick up the ball, that's when it's concerning for me. But there was a lot of frustration on social media, especially Facebook. I went on Facebook even today, and it's coming up with tweets and posts, sorry, from Saturday saying we need to get Cunha off halftime, this and this. And that's why I think Cunha still, for me, just about gets the nod ahead of the likes of Kalajdzic and Fabio. It's because his goal scoring numbers, it's not fantastic, but he can make something happen out of nothing. And he's very physical in terms of pace and driving the ball forward. And that finish was bang on. You know, I think he has been unlucky. But that was a brilliant finish. Like you said, still had a lot to do off balance, and to get that power, height, curve on it. It was a really, really nice finish. And you know, even if it was 11 versus 11 for the rest of the match, to get a goal so early in the second half would have been absolutely crucial for Wolves.
I think we would have won the game regardless. I think that's Cunha's best position now. I think he's better a little bit deeper and running with the ball. I don't think he's a back-to-goal striker, but he's perfect for like away games where you've got to, I mean, the Man United game's a great example where you've got to sit in a little bit and break, and he breaks with purpose. Yes, his decision-making's quite poor, I think, but there were so many times where he'd like drawn 2 or 3 Bournemouth players in and just go past them, almost a Adama Traoré-esque, obviously not to that level, and I don't think we'll ever see that ever again. But one of the big talking points in the game, Dave, was the sending off, and I've seen Bournemouth fans and other fans of clubs saying that what Twang doing, it's pathetic. But it could have been yellow carded for the first and then yellow carded for the reaction cook, because that's an awful tackle, and then a yellow card for the overreaction. You could be looking at 2 red cards there. He's just completely lost his head. He's headbutted Twang. Aitnori's given him a bit of a shove, because I think Twang wants to stay on his feet, and Aitnori gives him a bit of a shove to go down. But you just can't be doing it. And if it happens to your club, you're calling for your player to go over. And unfortunately, you have to do that to get a red card, don't you, Dave?
If Huang did it to Cook, I think Wolves fans would agree. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's about time that, you know, and I've said it all throughout the season about fine margins, but it's about time that it's a red card offence regardless if he stays standing on his feet or if he goes down. But it's about time that we get, you know, it's in our favour for a change. The amount of times that we've been shafted over the last few years, you know, with red cards or whatever, you can't do that, you know. You can't, you know, put your head. And there was a couple of still images of it. He proper goes into the cheek or the sort of just under the eye of Huang as well. So it's daft. And I'm just glad it's in our favour. But I don't understand how any Bournemouth fan can complain about it. I think, you know, I know their managers obviously going to be under a lot of pressure, but I think the players, especially Cook on Saturday, let him down because, you know, when you're in that battle, you're looking for your first win of the season. You need everyone to be on the same page, 11 men on the pitch. And that's just pure stupidity from Cook. Like you said, it was a rash tackle anyway. Mm. And then to do that after as well, it's just pure stupidity.
It's pure frustration, isn't it? But you need leaders in the position that they're in. And, it's just obviously it hasn't shown any leadership at all there. But to be fair, Dave, Wolves were patient out. They had a few chances, restricted Bournemouth to next to nothing. But it was that and the big man himself, Sascha Kolarčević, who comes off the bench. What's his goals to gain ratio now in the Premier League, Dave? Is it two in less than half an hour or something like that?
In the league this season, he's played less than 45 minutes. So it's two. And if you include his Southampton game when he got injured, I think he's got a goal every 50 minutes altogether in a Wolves shirt in the league. So,
it was a fantastic finish, and he did extremely well to win the ball back. I think if Bournemouth players appeal more, they probably get the foul. I don't think it's a foul, but I think it's one of those in the position that it's in the pitch at that time, with the players who are around it. I think if you make a meal of it, you probably do get the foul, but it's never going to get overturned in VAR. Huang with another assist and. Mate, composure personified. He's always cold, isn't he?
Bro, I thought the VAR was going to overturn it, but then
I think Neto did as well. If you look at the celebration,
the referee was right on it. So I thought that for me cannot be classically clear and obvious error because the referee stood on the ball. And mate, the finish, the way he sort of almost drops his shoulder to get the power around and curve around, it's a beautiful finish. And a great ball by Huang and. Oh, yeah, I was ecstatic when that went in. You know, again, another substitution, Gary O'Neill. He was on the pitch, 5 minutes, I think, and then he got that goal. Mm-hmm. I even think the Sarabia got a little bit of stick, and I know there's probably questions about him.
Yeah, I thought he did all right.
But that is, we mentioned it earlier in the season, that is the perfect game for Sarabia. If you're playing a team and you got to try and play on the counter, he's not good because he probably hasn't got enough physically.
Athleticism, yeah.
But when you're playing against a low block, 11 men behind the ball, he's probably, you know, he's got that quality to pick the pass. You know, he was a little bit of a nuisance towards the end. So I wasn't against that sub either, to be fair. So I think he got everything tactically bang on.
He did. And I thought the referee had a good game as well. I know we do referee rating, but usually when you haven't got many controversial points to talk about, then it usually means that they've done the job. But just a little nod to those changes, Dave. Nathan Fraser was apparently being put for his paces at half-time quite extensively. Sasha comes on. Does that mean that Fabio Silva is now third on the pecking order? And what does that mean for his future? But with credit to, you know, Gary O'Neill, you've got to hold your hands up. And he's given Fabio the chance. He hasn't taken it.
I think he probably deserves a little bit more of a chance. I don't think he's had enough. And I think the times that he's come on, like Villa, when you've got 10 men and you've you know, you're holding
yeah,
on
he's
to playing a lead
as a centre mid as well.
Like, and people gave him stick for that. So I think that's unfair. I had a question. I know there's probably a question about it as well. A lad called Baden had messaged me about it earlier as well to ask on the pod. I like Fabio and we've tried to give him praise. We tried to sort of support him as a player. And I think he'll have a successful football career, but I just don't think it's at Wolverhampton Wanderers, unfortunately. I don't think he suits the Premier League, but he will do well either in Portugal, in Holland, in Belgium, wherever he wants to go again. So I genuinely think he could be one of the players. Wolves want a forward, and I think
one's going to have to go.
Fabio's going to be the one that unfortunately goes.
I agree, mate. I agree. Talking about forwards, Dave, I had to rub my eyes and nearly something else. Four Wolves forwards either assisting or scoring at the weekend. What's going on? What has Gary O'Neill done to these crop of players?
There was a stat as well. We've already scored, our forwards have already scored more goals this season than the whole of last season. So Jimenez, Diego Costa, Huang, and whoever else, you know, played as a striker last season. The strikers this season have already scored more goals. So I don't know. It's the thing is, we could score more as well. I think we've had chances, like you think, at the weekend, even against Villa. Neto had a great chance towards the end this week. Juan got a chance.
Hit the bar as well, which is great. Neto hit the bar.
Neto probably should have scored second half after that great little passage of play down the left hand side as well. That's the one thing with Neto. I agree. He's been unbelievable this season, but he's just got to. I always look back to Espanyol away as well. Remember, we rounded the keeper and put it over the bar years ago in the Europa League. It just needs that little bit more composure in front of goal, but we could score more goals, and that's the crazy thing at the moment. It's good that we're actually scoring goals, and fans are almost getting their money's worth. We scored every single game now, apart from the opening game against United, so it's good.
I think that's a consistency throughout the Premier League. I don't think there's been 1-0 this season. No, I don't think so. So goals galore, great for the both teams to score. If you ever back those, but I think. Look, it's early days, and it's really important for us to not overreact or get too beaten up or too enthusiastic about it. But over the last two or three weeks, Dave, Gary O'Neill seems to be getting a bit more credit in the bank with fans. Listening to the commentary on Saturday, they were saying the Wolves fans were fuming in the first half. I think that happens naturally anyway when you're 1-0 down away to Bournemouth side who haven't won all season, but I think slowly but surely that he's starting to get a little bit of credit.
No, for sure. I mean, as we all know, he came in and had real pressure, and a lot of that wasn't his fault, really. You know, he came in, he wasn't the man that people wanted. Without being disrespectful.
I didn't want him.
Yeah, and he came really late, so he like I said, it's still very early days and things could turn quite quickly in football. But, you know, I think he's doing a good job. And in regards to where I would have expected us to be at this stage of the season, he's about bang on. And I've seen a few people say, would Lopetegui have us in the same position? Possibly. But I don't think he could have done any better than what Gary O'Neill's done in terms of points per game at the moment.
And also, the quality of football is better to watch. I think we're a lot more expansive. Getting the best out of players that we wouldn't necessarily have done last season. I think, like, under Lopetegui, I don't think there was one improved player, really. It was just pragmatic. Whereas you can see under proper coaching with Gary O'Neill, which no one said he wasn't a good coach, and within the game he's very well respected. But it seems to now, in the last two or three games, and again, it's important not to get ahead of ourselves, you can almost see those... that coaching ability, because he's improving individuals.
I you know, there was one thing that I noticed as well. I can't remember. It's probably a standard thing, to be fair, but I think his assistant and one of the other coaches had headsets in and they were watching everything back on the TV that had just happened, or trying to look at patterns of play or whatever they were doing. And Gary O'Neill was having a look at it as well whilst there was a stoppage in play. I can't remember seeing a Wolves manager, maybe Bruno Lage, because he was sort of into that sort of side of things. Lopetegui would always like to be on his touchline and stuff as well. I can't remember seeing that a lot. So I think they are looking a lot more at that sort of analytical side of the game, which can work. And, you know, Gary O'Neill and his coaching staff were like a new age, really, of coaches. You know, they are, rather than man managers, they are proper football coaches. And players seem to be enjoying it. You know, Tommy Dawes made comments about it. Max Kilman's made comments about it. And yes, it might be all talk for the press, but at the moment, it sounds like managerial support from the player side is good at the moment.
They do look frighteningly like a Take That tribute band, though, I think.
You know, it's not a bad shirt.
Play at the Robin at Bilston, like twice a year.
I like the reaction from Sean Derry as well at the end. I think Gary O'Neill was like, get in, but let's calm him down. Like, yeah. Really good.
Yeah, fantastic performance, but I think a tough test at the weekend, mate. Selected for Sky, isn't it? This game.
Yeah, 5:30 kickoff, yeah.
Wolves versus Newcastle. Newcastle are absolutely flying. No doubt this game will end in 2-2, as it always does.
Yeah.
But Wolves won at the weekend, Dave, but do you change the starting 11? Personally, I think that Semedo comes in for Doc, and I think Lamina comes in for João Gomes.
The
physicality of Newcastle and that midfield three just running teams over, I think that's the change that I would make.
That sounds about right. I think, like I said earlier, Doyle had a good performance, but probably not the game for him to start at the moment. Mm-hmm. May well be a time where he can come on throughout the game. And I think Semedo as well has to start ahead of Doc. So Bellegarde, you'd hope, is fit and can come back into the side. But I think everyone at the moment, you know, it's a team that's unbeaten in four and winning football matches and scoring goals. So hopefully, you know, it is going to be a tough game. But, you know, look at the teams, especially at Molineux that we've, you know, kept quiet. Villa, who, you know, went and beat West Ham 4-1 yesterday. Man City, who are just, you know, their own animal. So we're doing okay, and hopefully evening kickoff, the atmosphere should be good at Molineux.
It should be, and I think you and I are planning to have a couple of beers after the game as
fingers
well.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Anyone want a drink? Any ladies, give us a shout.
Not for me. Because news travels fast. I'm rolling myself out of that one. I'll supervise. I'll make sure there's no heavy petting. But yeah, if anyone, any ladies for David.
Then
come on over. But tough game though, isn't it, Dave? I mean, what are your expectations from this game? Would you take a point if I offered it now? Would you take that 2-2? I think they've got a game midweek as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Champions League, I think, away at Dortmund, I think. So yep. I mean, we saw it when we were
home,
in Europe.
Home to Dortmund.
Is it home? Sorry. Yeah. So we saw it in Europe sometimes, you know, we get a good performance and the momentum just carries on. So if they do get a positive result this week, it's going to be a difficult game. It'll be a difficult game regardless, to be fair. But I'd take a point, man. They're on fire at the moment. And I think if you get a point from this game, hopefully beat Sheffield United at Bramall Lane the week after.
Should
be. You know, you got six unbeaten then, you know. Football's not played on paper, obviously, but you know, there's a real chance for us to start looking up rather than looking over our shoulder now.
Definitely. Just another, a couple of pointers, Dave, before we go on to the questions from the listeners. But a couple of bits of news that have broke over the last week and a half. So starting with the Chelsea game on Christmas Eve, looks like it's going to be it looks pretty likely that Wolves will be playing Chelsea on Christmas Eve. What were your thoughts on that? I know you put a tweet out saying you didn't understand the backlash and everyone else said that's because you ain't got kids.
Yeah.
but what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, look, I think I'm not that bothered about it personally, but I think it's more of a tradition thing. Obviously, all of us have grown up pretty much knowing that football is a Boxing Day game, or if it gets moved, it might be on the 27th. But I haven't really got any commitments and stuff, so for me I think the sound of football on Christmas Eve is absolutely class. However, if it was at Stamford Bridge, I'd probably be a little bit more peed off because of, you know, traveling and stuff. But as a fan, knowing it's at my home ground, I am quite excited about it. But I fully appreciate everyone's point of view on it, but for me personally, I would enjoy it. I don't think it would. It's hard because it's a Sunday as well. It's just like, just depends on transport and travel, really. But
I think obviously other people's circumstances are different. But me, from a selfish point of view, when I saw that, I was quite happy with it because I was like, well, I like having a beer on Christmas Eve. I usually go out anyway. I go to the match. I don't know what time it'll be. Would it be a 2 o'clock kickoff or a half-five,
I
reckon?
I think one, they said. One or two. Yeah,
I mean, perfect. And then get back in the pub afterwards. And then my view was I then get to spend Boxing Day watching the games because more often than not, we're at the games. So you miss quite a lot of them. So I thought I can sit in front of the
telly game,
on Boxing Day.
On paper, we are still playing Boxing Day. So I think that would move to the 27th or whatever, 28th. So that's why I wouldn't be, like I said, I wouldn't be against it personally, but I understand frustration for sure, but I think it's because it's tradition. That's what people don't like, is that they've had kids, what, like 10, 15 years old. For 10, 15 years, you've never had to worry about having football. Whereas, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and if you are a Chelsea fan, you're probably fuming. If you said if it was at Stamford Bridge, I wouldn't be going.
But I've seen a lot of people saying they'll return their tickets. I can guarantee you now that match will sell out. 100% it will sell out. And I can guarantee as well, if you say, no, I'm not going, you will still watch it at home or still go out with your family and watch it either way.
They'll still go. People will find a way. They always will. People saying, oh, I expect a refund off the club. Unfortunately, you don't.
That's not how things work, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't. You buy the fixture, not the date.
I understand as well the staff. You know, staff are going to be disappointed. They got to work on Christmas Eve as well. Yeah. But when I put, what's the difference between playing on Christmas Eve and what's the difference between playing Boxing Day? Obviously, I had a few people say 2 days.
2 days.
but a couple of staff members like that tweet, to be fair. So I don't know whether it's because they disagreed with me or I don't know. So.
Yeah. But then if you're not playing Boxing Day, then it's likely that the team and the staff will have Christmas Day and Boxing Day off.
Yeah.
Or at least Christmas Day off, because I know most work, don't they, on Christmas Day staff, especially not playing and coaching staff. So again, it all depends on individual circumstances. But for me, I quite like the idea of it, and I think it'll be a nice bit of change.
Yeah, it might not stick, but and I probably wouldn't be for it every single season. But if they chuck one game on a year on Christmas Eve, then you know, I think it'd be really interesting. I genuinely think the viewing figures from a commercial point of view would be ridiculous as well.
Yeah, and George wasn't very happy because you know his circumstances are different to ours. He's got kids, grandkids, great grandkids, great 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 grandkids. So. He was he wasn't very happy about it, but now all jokes aside, if it does happen, it looks likely. I'm quite looking forward to it. I think it'll be a nice change. And another thing that's broken in the last week or so, Dave, is that Wolves chairman Jeff Shee, he's actually got a quarterly column in the Express and Star. Now, it's a great coup for the paper to get Jeff's thoughts criticised. Quite widely for not being communicative and putting his thoughts across. And I gave the first piece a read, Dave, and I wondered...
What did you learn?
I don't know what it was. I felt like I'd taken a tab of acid or something and then, like, gone on it's just mental.
You met someone for the first time at Ad's party. It's 4 a.m. Everyone's smashed, and that's the conversation you have. What are you
kitchen chat? Article? It's you spoke about conspiracy theories. You spoke about aliens, and now you're getting onto
championship manager.
The birds are singing. The dealer's not getting back to you. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. That's pretty much that. That's how I felt. It's great for the Express and Star, though, for them to be able to get that exclusive. But I read it and I just thought, what on earth is this? Did you think that as well? I know people will criticise for him not speaking, and we're not criticising him, but find it quite funny. People are like criticising for speaking.
A blog entry, wasn't it?
It was all like... over the place. It was...
And I don't mean this in disrespect to Jeff or the Express and Star, but like, surely the point of that is almost to give fans an update with what's possibly going on. So I don't know if this is because it's his first one. He wants to introduce how he got into football and how he knew of Wolves. But the rest of it was just like, so what? Like, you know.
I bet when Liam and Nathan were the Judas, so we've finally got this, you know, this piece with Jeff coming in every quarter. I bet they're like, this is great. Can't wait to read it. And they read it and I bet they're like... Is that from Jeff? Okay.
Jeff, have you cut the second half off? Or
it reminded me, and some fans will be familiar with him, but there's a fan who does quite a lot of writing and art called Michael Petalengro. And it reminded me of some of the work that he's done, just like a bit like here, there, everywhere, all over the place. Yeah. Very creative. But I just thought it was interesting, to say the least. They may change tact for the next one in 3 months.
We'll ask it in 3 months, Liam. Where's the article? I know we've decided to pull it, unfortunately.
Yeah. The club still wanted to do it, but we wanted to pull it. But Dave, I think it's a definite change in kind of PR strategy from the club. For years since Dalrymple left, there's been next to no communication. Matt Hobbs has definitely helped bridge that gap between fans and the club somewhat, but there seems to be a definite change in what the club wants to put out there. So you've got Jeff doing his quarterly column, let's call it, for the Express and Star. You've got Matt Hobbs now doing interviews with in-house comms and also national press, providing great insight. And then you've got Wolves head coach Gary O'Neill on Monday Night Football. So Brighton do this quite well. I said to you when we were before we recorded, you always get Paul Barber on TalkSport talking about the club and their director of football. And I think that it's a clear and intentional change of strategy from the club.
Yeah, I think it's needed. I think ever since Fosun came in, they have been very private, which in some ways I agree with, like in terms of transfers and making sure certain things don't get leaked. I think it's crucial for them. But I think they need to, especially after the last couple of summers, they need to keep fans on side, or at least keep communications the key. And that's what fans want. Sometimes the club communicate and fans don't like it, so they go mad. But at least the club are telling us, like Matt Hobbs, especially since he's coming to the role he's in now. I think he's been very good in the communication. I love the talk and the quotes after signings to understand the process that's happened and so on. So I think they're going in the right direction. And things, you know, it's still very, very early days, but things at the club, if you think back to July and how toxic it was, things are starting to look like they're going upwards again. And things like this definitely help as well.
I mean, if you look at this and we'd lost four on a bounce, you'd say, fuck off, I don't want to hear what you got to say. But yeah, because performances have been good and there's points on the board, I think it all becomes a little bit more palatable. But it's like you said, Dave, it's been needed, and it's good to hear. I find Gary O'Neill's press conferences quite methodical anyway. I think he communicates in the way and talks about certain things that we've not had from a Wolves manager, and especially in my time, maybe Glenn Hoddle, just because he was very tactical. But he talks about in a particular way that we've not had, and I think Monday Night Football will also will show a light on that too, and his supposed wealth of knowledge when it comes to coaching. But I find Matt Hobbs, and he's got stuff right, he's got stuff wrong, but I find him really engaging from a communications point of view. I could listen to him talk all day, because he obviously knows his stuff, but he's got that real kind of personable personality.
He's got a sense of humour, isn't he?
Yeah, I
think it's not even a sense of humour, it's just him being an actual person. I think you can get sporting directors that are very robotic almost, and like almost like they're reading from a script. But that Five Live thing, I think his first line was him bantering off one of the blokes that was on it. So, no, I like that a lot.
But he's ultimately going to be judged on his performances within the club, and rightly so. But yeah, I think he's got quite a lot right, not that much wrong. And the fact that he seems like a nice bloke means, for me personally, I buy into that a lot more. Yeah. But like I said, with everything that we say, it's good to provide balance and not get too giddy or get too downtrodden when it comes to these things. But Dave, moving on to the questions. So I've had quite a few wonderful questions been sent in on Twitter. So Nothing But Neto has asked, is Sarabia done at Wolves? He had a great game against League One oppositions in the Cup, but has looked off the pace since. If he can't find his usual pockets of space against 10 men, is he off in January? And how much do you think we could get for him? £10 million. I don't think he played that bad at the weekend, but I think he will be off. He's reportedly the highest earner at Wolves by an absolute country mile too. So I think the club will be quite keen to get him off the wage bill too, Dave.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think his best performance in a Wolves shirt have been against lower league opposition, frustratingly. And again, similar to what I said earlier with Fabio, I think there is a place, well, there has been a place, you know, in the footballing world for Sarabia. You know, you've seen it. You don't get moved to PSG. You don't score tens of goals for Sporting in one season.
20 odd goals in the league, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, so I think he's a good footballer, but again, just one player that doesn't suit the Wolves system or just doesn't suit the Premier League. Wolves, fortunately, bought him at a really good fee. And obviously, he was a Lopetegui signing. I think you would make profit on him and get him off your wage bill. I think if the option is there to sell him for 10 million-ish, you take it and you can buy in either another number 10 or another winger if this is the way that Gary O'Neill wants to play. I think that's one of the early January moves that you do, I think.
I think they'd take less than that.
What do we pay? About five? If you get your money back for him.
Say he's 100 grand a week, which is a lot more than anyone else. I think you're just happy to get him off the wage bill. He's part of the leadership group, isn't he? But I think when you've got like a cluster of players and then you've got one player who's on so much more money than others, I think he sends out the wrong message. And perhaps, we're not on the inside, so we don't know. But I think that's something Wolves would be keen to address too. But Dave, I don't think I'd be surprised to see a loan with an option just to get him off the wage bill.
I'm not sure. Possibly. I think I feel Saudi move this is as well. There will be interest from Spain, but I feel like there could be Saudi clubs coming in for him. I think that's what he would suit at this stage of his career as well. I say that, I'm assuming he's in his 30s, but that would be...
I think he's 31.
That would be, so I think...
Yeah, he's 31.
Yeah, he is. No, I think he'll be gone in January, personally.
I agree. The Mars Music Show has asked, with the team performing well over the past few games, what should our priority positions to strengthen in January be? Well, we know they want a striker. I think that's a priority. I think maybe another central midfielder, maybe, or someone who can play out wide. I don't know how you feel, Dave, but I think they'll do business.
Fabio, yeah, I think another winger, another striker. I was going to say another centre-half, but I've got Mosquera coming back and he's been on form, and he, so...
Can you count on him, though? A bit of a loose cannon, isn't
he? You play the three that we've got at the moment. It depends if there's an unbelievable option that comes in that can replace one of the three. Obviously, you've got Santi Bueno as the backup. I think you're set for wing-backs at the moment. Saying that, I think Gary O'Neill mentioned depth there. So maybe if you do let Johnny go, you get someone that can possibly fill in on both sides.
Mm.
I think there is a window there, depending on players that go out. There's a window in a world where Wolves will maybe sign three or four more players in January.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go and break the bank in terms of spending 30, 40 million pounds on one player. But I think there's money there to be spent. I would be surprised if they weren't back in for, is it Dia?
Yeah, mate, he scored twice at the weekend.
Did he? Is he back playing now then?
Yeah, they sacked their manager, I think someone told me earlier. So, he scored twice. I think they drew 2-2. Came off the bench, scored two late goals.
He's playing for a...
Have you seen his record?
He's a bags, man.
His record's ridiculous, man.
Absolutely. And I think ridiculous. You could probably get him on the cheap.
That depends.
16 goals last season for... Is it
Salernitana, yeah.
Salernitana. For a six assists as well. Where did they finish last season? Do you know? Sorry to put you on the spot.
It's all right, I could check.
They can't have been.
So they're 19th at the moment, so I haven't had a great start. But yeah, he scored two late goals yesterday, and then they
finished
15th, yeah.
So obviously not a great side.
And Zaggy's their new manager now.
Oh, nice. But I think you could probably get him on the cheap. I know that they went in with a derisory offer. In the summer, which I think if you're on the receiving end of it, you're fuming. But it was quite funny, wasn't it? Really, just put a bidding or an offering just to unsettle the player, because he wouldn't train or anything, would he? He chucked his dolls out the pram, what Nunes did to Wolves, said he wanted the move, but didn't come off. But it wouldn't be surprised if they went back in for him. George Walker has asked, it's a 4-2-4 against the teams we should be beating the best option this season. Personally, I'd like to see Cunha and Neto alternate out on the wings and Hwang and Sasha through the middle. It's not a bad shout. I'm looking at the shape from the weekend. It was, I know it's against 10 men, but it pretty much was a 4-2-4 or like a 3-3-4 in terms of like average positions. But Dave, would you like to see that against the lesser sides?
Probably yes in the home games. I think away, like for home's sake, in a couple of weeks away at Sheffield United, I think you still stick with a back five because... Play. I thought Nor is losing confidence as well at the moment. I think it looks fantastic. So I think you could push players like him and Semedo, who is okay in the final third. Instead of 4-2-4, I'd assume you'd say more of a 4-2-3-1, wouldn't you? Cunha as the number 10 and still Hwang off the left. But yeah, it's possible. But like I said, probably in the home games rather than away games.
Yeah, agreed. Next question is from Andy Hipkins, friend of the pod. Midfield two versus Newcastle. Lamina and another one, in my opinion. Who should be the other?
But I think Bubakar.
Big Booby. Get him in there. Ashley Burns is silver done at Wolves without the Carabao Cup and his average his performance this season. When given a chance, surely a loan or a sale for him in January. We discussed this a little bit, haven't we? But I think you agree it could be time for Wolves to cut the losses and pull the trigger.
I don't know if there's a lot of value in him though at the moment. I think in the summer his value would have still been okay. You 100% wouldn't have got your money back for him. I don't know. Really don't know. I want it to work, but I just can't see how it's going to at the moment. So yeah, unfortunately, I think he'll go. I don't even know how long he's got left now on his deal. Maybe a couple of years. So,
well, he signed a contract extension, didn't he, before he went on loan last season.
So maybe 24, 25, end of the 25, wouldn't it? So I think he'll go. I think he'll go this January.
It has been a failure, hasn't it, really? Unless something drastic happens between now and January. It's been a massive, massive failure to spend £35 million.
Someone asked me earlier, is he just been unlucky or is he a flop? I think he's been unlucky. In regards to, I think he got chucked in the limelight way too early.
Yeah, that didn't
obviously force out loan. Whenever he's gone out on loan, you know, Anderlecht did well, PSV did well. And he's just never, he's been at Wolves in a time where we have been really poor in front of goal in general, creativity and so on. So, like I said earlier, I think he'll leave Wolves and he'll have a successful football career. But I just don't think he'll be in England. And I don't think he'll be at Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Do you think if he scores a goal in the Prem, on like a well worked goal, that the confidence could ooze and then you see him going on a bit of a scoring run, or do you think his time has actually just come to an end now?
Possibly, you know, you've seen that with Hwang, who've been very disappointed in front of goal for the last 12 months, and then all of a sudden he's sort of all of a sudden just been in the right place at the right time and, you know, and working hard and, you know, and scoring goals. So maybe, but I just don't see where he gets that chance at the moment. Like I said earlier, if Gary O'Neill wants to bring a forward on, it's going to be Sasha Kalajdzic, and Fabio needs an injury or suspension for him to get a chance to play in this team. Maybe around Christmas, when it's quite a busy schedule, he'll get more minutes. But he really needs to. And he's been lucky at the start of the season, that goal against Everton. But he should have scored against Brighton. He should have scored against Everton as well. Mm. You know, he had two good chances against both of those teams that he needed to take.
Agreed. And the final question is from Sean Mitchell. If you could visit any ground in the world for a match, which one would you choose? I've gone with La Bombonera, the Boca Stadium.
Yeah, I
think it's Bombonera means box of chocolates, but
does it?
I don't know why, because apparently it's because of like how like it's shaped like a D. And that, like, the stands a lot on top of each other, but like every box of chocolates I've ever had, and trust me, I've had a few in my time, doesn't have those characteristics. I'm not quite sure why they call it the chocolate box, but the atmosphere and like it just looks unbelievable. One of those like bucket list places. I saw a tweet recently. A group of Scousers had gone over there to watch the derby, and they went and tried to sit where the ultras were, and they got moved after like 20 minutes because people were like ready to kill them.
They're nuts over there. Yeah. That's up there, to be fair. Any like something like that in South America. I don't know. I've never actually seen a match live, obviously at Bernabeu or the new camp. Dortmund as well is one possibly to, you know, if they were at the top of their game again, I bet the atmosphere would be like ridiculous there. So, any of those in Europe, but yeah, I think the South American ones would be up there as well.
I've always wanted to do the San Siro. I want to try and get to a game next season
year. What's the situation with that ground though?
They're keeping it.
Hello.
I keep talking about redevelopments, or I think one of the teams might be moving out of there, but it's staying.
Mm.
But with that looming over it,
the ground looks good as well, by the way.
Ramney Moor Dock.
Yeah, that'll be. When's that ready next season?
They're hoping for next season at some point, but the way things are going, you never know, do you? No, the Anfield Road at Liverpool's been postponed until next season. But to be fair, the firm that they had contracted in went bust. So that's my completion date a bit further back. But that's all for this week, Dave. No career path game because it's only Dave and I can't do that. It would have been an easy opportunity if you to get some points on the board. But I think we're both now going to go and sit and watch Monday Night Football to see what our Gaz has got to say. But Dave, where can people find you should they wish to follow you, mate?
It's at Dave as a party on Twitter and Instagram. Dave as a party on LinkedIn. I've had about 6 requests to connect today. I don't know what's going on. Must be coming up on people's phones. But
must be, mate.
Thanks a lot, everyone.
I'm Matt Cooperwrites on Twitter, YouTube and whatnot, and M Cooperwrites if you want to follow the personal. We are, of course, Talking Wolves across all platforms. If you're listening on Apple and Spotify and you've enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star review. Doesn't matter what you put in the comments, as long as it's a 5-star review, that'd be really grateful. If you're watching on YouTube and you've enjoyed the video, please like it. And if you are new, please subscribe. It does mean a lot to us. And yeah, until next time, hopefully Wolves have another 3 points on the board, a tough clash against Newcastle. But more importantly, hopefully Dave gets a cougar on Saturday night after the game. Until next time. See you later. Take care. Look after yourselves.